We're going to start now. We're going to start from the mem on the base. Today's daf is daf mem alef. We'll start mem on the base at the bottom. Yeshushu b'kupa, if they took root in a box, okay? Harehein b'chaz kosel n'maishas l'shvis. B'chaz kosel means they are the same as they were before, right? So they were putter from trumas n'maishas because they grow anything more further, it won't add to the chiyuv.
I guess that's if the box has no hole in it.
Yeah. And imhayu tamein loy alu miday tamasim, because again it's not mechuba l'karka, so it does not help that it became rooted. Okay, now we're on daf namalaf and malaf mishishu baliyah. However, we have one change here if it became rooted in the attic. Harei mechaz kasan lemaisis l'shvius. As far as the first part is concerned, it's the same. It's because customs. Of course, if they were Tomei, they now became Muchubar to the Karak. So the Gemara asks, because Kostum, Hatam, or Olu? Well, on the one hand, you're telling me that it's not like it's connected, and now on the other hand, you turn around and say, for Tumah purposes, it is like it's Muchubar. What's going on over here? Why aren't you consistent? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rab Law. Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rab Law answers the question. This pasuk has a special riboy, means that it says number of times the same word over and over again. And the pasuk is my time, but what pasuk is it? Taharu. So it says three times zriya, which means that b'chol oifen shehu, b'chol in any way, shape or form that something is nizra, it is considered mechubar. And that's why it will be tahar, even though for all of the halachas it's not mechubar. Zokdim more by Tertani lo yitlish. It says you should not be tailish it.
Wait, so in the zriya, the kupa is kolshi. Is that what the zriya kolshi is?
What do you mean kolshi?
What's kolshi?
I don't know. That's what he's saying.
What does it say?
The
kolshi.
There's a ribui. What's the ribui?
No, I mean, it means any zriya, anything that could be called zriya is enough. In other words, even though it's in the attic, but the attic is part of a building, and the building is mechubar to the karka, so therefore we can say that this is mechubar to the karka. It's a little remote, you know, because
right.
It's not in a backyard.
There's dirt in the attic.
Yeah, there's dirt in the attic, but it's not part of the ground. It's just some dirt in the attic.
Hydroponics is in the house, which is standing on the ground.
Yeah, so maybe it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. I'm not saying, for as far as tumah is concerned, fine. But as far as maestris is concerned, it's part of a maestris. It's not considered on the ground. Okay, or at least a rice anyway. So the Gemara goes like, Tani, lo yitlaish, it says you should not be toilshin on Shabbos if it's growing in the attic and it has a root in it. So the Gemara says, what happens if he is Talashit on Shabbos? Well, what's then? What then? Hilchas Shabbos. There's a whole sefer there. On the Lamitas Malachas. Okay, one of the volumes on the Lamitas Malachas, if you're interested in studying that.
Yeah.
The new set I brought in, okay?
What is that?
The new set of Sefer Hamara. I'm not going to go into it right now. Okay.
The one without the numbers on the column.
Okay. We'll talk afterwards. Okay. We'll talk afterwards. Let's try to stay focused here. Okay. Focus, grasshopper. Is Tani Chayev? So one Brysa says that you're Chayev, meaning you're Chayev, Skila or Chatos for Shogeg or Meis on Shabbos, right? You're Chayev Skila, right?
Only if you have. To
him, Bezdin, and yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And Istani Potter. There's another Bryson that says Potter. So we have two Brysons. One says Kaiv, one says Potter.
You have
Potter. It could be Mutter. The two Gersos.
Yeah,
he's changing it here. You could learn it mutter also. If you learn the way the interpretive variants learn it, it's going to be mutter. Okay, maybe we'll speak that out in just a second. This is a little bit of a it's a funny shakamatai here. They keep changing the gersos, as you can imagine. It's a little convoluted here. So man de Omar, now let's just review what we said yesterday from Rish Lakish. Remember, Rish Lakish held that regardless of what your kavana is, whether you wanted it to take root or you did not want it to take root, Rish Lakish holds that if you're toilish not on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Right? That's Rish Lakish. If Yechanan held, no. If you didn't want it there, it's not chayiv on Shabbos. That's what we said yesterday. So now, the first brisa, right? Man de Amar, Patra Avol Aser. If you're goris, that you're if you hold your potter, but avol aser, you're still going to be aser to do it mirabbanan. Potter means you're not chayav neoraisa, but you're going to still be aser to do it mirabbanan. That's just a parenthetic remark, which is like, why we're throwing in parenthetic remarks now? I don't know. Man de amar chayav nicha. So if you hold that you're chayiv deraisa, so then that makes sense according to Rish Lakish, because he holds you're chayiv deraisa. Man damar pata avalasar, delay tzarcha delam mutar. This is a very difficult line here. The Tana who says that who plucks them is pata from deraisa, but he holds it's biblically forbidden, he should have only said that it's permitted. Delay tzarcha delam mutar, he should have said that it's mutar. Why should he have said it's mutter? So in footnote 9, he has this whole convoluted way of logic, which I can't even say it over. I mean, to me, the whole thing is... Well, let's look at it. We'll try and figure it out, okay? The only possible reason for the rabbis to prohibit plucking, if it took root in the attic against the owner's will, is because otherwise you might pluck onions that he did want it to be there. That would be the drabon, right? It would be gzeira. Yeah. Ought to, where it's willful. According to Rish Lakish, it doesn't make a difference whether you want it or not. So, the people that say it's pater, they clearly disagree with Rish Lakish. However, Rish Lakish would argue that even those tanoim would accept his basic premise, namely, that the owner's opposition is irrelevant. They regard the onions as detached for some other reason. In other words, they may not feel that you're high of deraisa, but they aren't going to disagree with his svara, which is that the person's ratzon doesn't make a difference. And there must be some other reason why they hold your potter, such as, e.g., here he has over here. They're not planted the usual way. The onions in the attic are not attached to the ground. Whatever their reasoning is, there's some reason they hold your pot. So it makes no difference whether he wants the onions to take root or not to take root. Either way, they're going to be considered tolish, according to the second Bryson. So what are they worried about? According to that thinking, what are they worried about? The only reason to say potal avalasar is because you're going to say that you're going to mix it up instead of you're going to say that if you allow him to take it out of the attic, if it's something the owner did not want, ought to a case that where the owner did want it. But according to Rish Lakish, it makes no difference. That has no basis whatsoever. There's no difference in an owner's ratzon one way or the other. And Rish Lakish held that the same way he holds chayiv across the board, the same thing would be hold true according to the opposition, that they would hold potter across the board. If that's the case, why is it potter avalasar? What is the gzeira? Ato, you'll take it out even if it's meritzono that it took root? That doesn't make a difference. He'd be potter then also. So therefore, the question the Gemara is asking, this is the convoluted part of it. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, why did it say potter and it should have said mutter? It should have said mutter according to that sheet.
Right.
Okay. This is like, you got to be kidding me. It's like, Rish Lakish is going to say that his opposition agrees to this premise that it doesn't make a difference whether it's mutter. What's the basis of such an assumption? That makes no sense at all. Well, I don't know where this comes from. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. Let's go right. I'm upset. The other way of learning the Gemara is the Gemara is asking that this is how could one hold your chayiv and one hold your mutter? Look, that's two extremes. One is saying you chayiv misa and one is saying it's mutter lechachila. What kind of machlokes is that? We never find things that two shittas should be so diametrically opposed from each other. That's what the way they turn around the Gemaras. Anyway, I'm not gonna read it inside. If you're interested in that mahalach, you could read the footnote. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Chayev, so the Gemara concedes the point. What? Rav Shimon Lakish must say Chayev. The other version, which exempts him from biblical liability but forbids him to pluck the onions in the first place, cannot be reconciled with Rav Lakish's view. Basically, the Gemara is saying there's no way out. There is no way to explain the other sheet according to Rish Lakish. And in footnote 10, he says the Tana who reads Patra Avolasar must hold contrary to Rish Lakish. Fine. Let's go on. Halacha Beis. Lo Yimkor Adam as Peirosim. Now we're talking about selling attached produce. Normally, you're not allowed to sell produce that has not had maizros taken from it. But if it's still attached to the ground, you would be able to sell it. But now we're going to say some cases where even if it's attached to the ground, you're also not allowed to sell it. So the Mishnah says, Lo yimkor adam es peiros, a person can sell his peiros which are attached to the ground. Misha ba'ula on his maizros, once they come to the time that they are right to take maizros, which is one-third of the growth, let's say, for normal cases. So, Lamisha and Neman Alamaisus to somebody who's not Neman Alamaisus. So, we're talking about the Isser of Lifnei Ivro, Lo Sitein Mekshol, right? So, therefore, I can't sell somebody who's not Machman Alamaisus the fruit, which is Tevel, obviously, because he's going to eat it without taking Maisus. That's Lifnei Iver. Now, the question, though, is what about selling him Paris, which are attached to the ground? So, there I'm not just selling him Paris, I'm selling him ground. So I can't sell a person who's Machman on Maestris a farm. I'm a real estate agent.
Why does that mean you're selling him the ground? Selling him the Paris or attaching the ground?
I'm saying this is he's saying over here. Second. I thought I saw this in the bottom. Let me see. Let me just 1 second.
Number 13, it says the produce may not be sold either of its own or together with the land.
That's right. Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but it's going to become clear that that's true. Okay, there's all kinds of in 14 he goes through all kinds of lifnei iver type of svaras. Okay, let's keep going. So and the same way you can't sell someone Paris, you also can't sell shviat Paris. What does it say here? V'lo b'shviyas l'mishu hu chashar al shviyas. You can't sell Paris on Shrias to someone who's kosher because he'll violate the laws of Shrias. Here we're not talking about selling the fruit because you can't sell fruit on Shrias. Shrias is Hefker. So therefore we're talking about selling ground and he's going to grow stuff on Shrias. Okay. V'im bichru, and if it matured early, meaning you want to sell, let's see. It reached the tithing stage before the rest of the produce. Noitels habakuros umokras hashar. In other words, the Mishnah only asked it if it reached higia oinas maestras, right? That's what it said. Mishi loyim kronim was peyroisov, misha ba'u lo oinas maestras. But before they came to oinas maestras, you could sell it, right?
Why? Because everybody knows that it's not Musa.
Because it's not a mikshol right now. But bisman hamechira, it's not a mikshol. In other words, in economy, later on, you know, a month from now, he's also chashed. He talks about this in the bottom. He says, right, in the third paragraph on 14, prohibition of selling untithed produce to non-Ma'aretz applies only after it reached the tithing stage. Before then, it can be sold to any Am Ha'aretz, even though one who is unlikely to tithe, even... The reason is such produce is not yet subject to the laws of Vaisers, so it doesn't constitute a mikshol. Although the produce will later become forbidden, but it's not considered to provide the buyer with the means to sin. Because at the time he sold the produce, it was still permitted. That's what he quotes this in the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, such a svar. Then he has another thing. Anyway, there's an alternative to this Aruch HaShulchan that really selling it to him before it reached the onus maestros would also be a mitzvah, but it could create such animosity that they're going to start hating all the from Yidden, and then we don't want that. That's going to be even worse. So we only took it to a point. That's the second mahalach. Okay, that's the whole thing down at the bottom. Anyway, one more time. So the Mishnah is just speaking out. See, if part of your field had kind of like rushed ahead and became ripe and reached Einas Maestros before the rest of the fields, and I still want to sell the rest of the field to the Amorites, what do I do? Obviously,
take it away.
You pick it, right? You pick it off, and you take that minority amount of that's already, you know, jumped ahead of the gun, you know, the early bloomers. So, and you go ahead and you noitelos habachuros, you take those. Umaykar sasha, you sell the rest. Okay, loyim karnim as tivno, as gifto, as zogov. You can't sell straw, olive residue, or grape skins. Lemishen and emar lemaisras. Now, what you're going to do with this is the following. This is going to be the residue left over. And what they did was they took this residue and you could squeeze it. And out of it, you could extract some more liquid. That liquid would be chayev in maestros. So, therefore, it's the same mikshol. So, you can't sell that.
You said also, like, way before they used to call it temed.
Yeah, temed was when you poured water over... This is a little different than temet. Yeah, the temet is when you poured water over the grape seeds and grape peels, let it soak, and then you took out the liquid, it would absorb. It's a little different. This is where you're actually squeezing the etzem zah. Okay? Now, vim haitzi, if we're on 41B now, if the buyer extracts the juice, chayav b'maaseres, then he has to take maaseres. Upatur min ha-truma, but he's patur from truma. Why is he patur from truma? This is, we're talking about Tevel. This is right out of the right out of the gate, right? So it says over here, the Mishnah explains, HaToreim, when I took Truma originally on the rest of the vat, Libo al-Kutam al-Atsdogim al-Mashu b'toch ha-Tevin, I have in mind this residue, because after all, we all know that Chita Achas Poteris is Hakri. There's no reason for me not to have in mind all the side residue as well when I was mafresh the truma. Therefore, truma is no longer a concern. However, maestros is an exact amount, and therefore, I wouldn't have had that in mind. Okay, next. Now we're talking about surya again. Surya is, of course, outside Eretz Yisrael. It's kibush yochid, and it's chayev drabonin. So, lokeach stay yerek b'surya. If you buy a field of vegetables in surya, and you're buying it from a goy. So the rule is like this. We say, Yesh kinyan l'akam to mafkia from Kedushas Eretz, but in Surya, that it's patters you completely, that you don't even have to give drabonim. Okay, you got that? One more time. Yesh kinyan l'akam, l'hafkia, midek Kedushas Eretz, even on drabonim, in Surya, if, then the Mishnah is going to tell me when, if it's higia lo'onis ha'maisus b'yad ha'akam. To reach the point of the obligation while it's in the hands of the goy, it's pata. Okay? If they had not reached the oina of the maestros, chayev, then you have to take it in the rabbanon. But if it reached the time of the maestros in the hand in the rishus of the goy, then pata. Okay? V'loki kadarka v'holach, your buyer can harvest in his usual manner. That means if I bought it from him after it was higila, inas maishras, and so that's only one third, right? So I buy it from the guy. It's still attached to the ground. We're talking about when buying the ground here, right? It's still attached to the ground. Now it's going to grow a lot more. Okay. Doesn't make a difference. That's what the Mishnah's telling me. Look at what?
He sold it.
No, the guy sold it to the yid. Oh. It's telling me the yid bought it from a guy. Okay. So the since it hit Einas Mises Rishus of the guy, it became potter, and subsequently even if it grows into a forest, doesn't make a difference. It's lokit kadako. You can let it grow as much as you want, and you're part.
For that season. The next season.
And putter. Yeah.
Why is it
putter?
Because
it's in Surya, and it hit Higil Ignis Maestris. And when it hit Ignis Maestris, it was completely mufka. That's the way they're all born of it.
Have you ever heard that the Syrian Jews take Maestris now? I mean, I've never heard that they do.
Surya means Syria?
What do you think it means?
For sure.
What?
Yeah, part of it, I mean...
Part of it is in Syria.
Most of it is Lebanon.
There aren't too many left in
Lebanon. I don't think Surya means Syria. No, yeah. I never thought it meant that. Syria? Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't look at the maps, but if I recall correctly, Surya was not Syria necessarily. Yeah. We had those maps in the back
Lebanon and what is called now Lebanon and Syria.
Yeah. Okay. I'll grant you maybe it sounds like it, right? It sounds like it. And I haven't heard what the Jews do nowadays in Syria. No, I've never even met a Syrian Jew in my life, or have even heard of one.
You just didn't know.
I didn't understand the first thing. Why is he chayiv if
you bought it from the guy, so there was no p'tur of akum to be mafkiyam midek dushas ha'aretz before it hit the obligation point. So therefore, since it's in the shus of the Yisrael,
the obligation point.
So there, minderabon on your chayv to timnah for shmaisus.
But he said, maybe I'm reading it wrong. Alukel said to the Eric Bisuria, iman shalopo lona shmaisus. If they have not reached the stage for shmaisus, chayv.
Then the Jew is chayv about.
Jew is chayv later on when they grow. Later on.
Oh.
Yeah, when they hit.
When they hit the shmaisus.
Now they aren't even roy lachila filo.
I think this happens to be a machlokas between the Gra and between Rakhayan Knievsky.
What?
This, how to read this whole line.
Which line?
That we just read. I think that's what Arish Mokun was speaking out.
Okay.
Is it a footnote?
It could be. Where are you reading from?
You heard it on the radio or something.
I heard it from Ashir, but sort of.
Okay, we'll just keep going, okay? Next. Rav Yehuda Omer, we're on 41B, 2. Rav Yehuda Omer, one second, did I skip something? Yeah, one second. Yeah, there's a condition in the Tanakhama that I didn't speak out, which is important. It's not in the Hebrew, but it's part of the English. That you can collect, you can continue to collect, let the produce grow. If you bought it after it was Higilinus Maestris, you can let it grow. But he says, however, bottom line, however, the buyer must harvest the crop himself. He can't hire other workers to come harvest the crop. He has to do it himself. They did that because of a hecker. Right? It's a drop on a hecker.
Why?
So that he realizes that this is only going to be true this year, not next year. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you have a problem, but you look to do it. You can hire workers. He doesn't hold from this Zera. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Medrash Mamurim, when is this true that you're chayev if you bought it before it was Higel Oinus Maestres? That's if you bought the ground as well from the guy. If you didn't buy the ground, so then then you're potter anyway. Because since the guy owns the ground, he's mafkia the kedushas haaretz in Surya. That's his.
Does everybody hold that? That in Surya?
Say that a guy is mafkia. I don't know if everybody holds that way. I'm almost positive that's the halach. So on 11, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the rabbis did not impose a maaser obligation in Syrian produce unless two conditions are met. It's at the tithing stage, and a Jew not only owns the produce, but he also owns the land. The Tanakhama, by contrast, requires only
the produce belongs to a Jew.
Okay? All right. The Tanakhama holds that produce bought after the tithing stage is entirely exempt from the tithes, including the portion that goes after the sale. The following Tana disagrees with this point. Rebbe Omer, af lefi cheshbon. Even if you want the produce after Huzigilah and his Maestris, you have to take according to the percentage that grows afterwards, the Maestris Midrabon. Okay? So Rebbe is like an outlier as far as however you figure it out. You want to get into details? This is the intent of the Mishnah. A person should not sell his untithed produce together with his field. In other words, because what the Gemara is doing here is, if you take a look at the first words of the Mishnah, it says, Lo yimkor adam es peirosav. A person shouldn't sell his fruit. And if you remember the English translation, it says he shouldn't sell his attached produce. So the Gemara is trying to say what? I think that's what it means. In other words, just peiros of the way it's written in the Mishnah sounds you can't sell your fruit. So that's what he's saying over here in 14. One is forbidden to sell not only the produce on its own, but even together with the field, you can't sell it to someone who's kosher. It could have been thought that when the field and the produce are sold together, since the field is the primary component and the produce is ancillary, so the sale ought to be permitted. So that's why the Gemara tells us, no, lo yimkar adam esadehu. Okay, so that's important. The Yerushalmi is cryptic, but it's important to understand what it's trying to tell us here. Okay, here the Tana disagrees with our Mishnah's ruling. Rav Shimon Matir, he allows the sale of untithed produce to an untrustworthy person, even after it is yielded on his maestros. They shul aymalai, because the seller can say to the amaretz, Hare machati ashali. I sold my own produce, not the portion meant for you. No, he's saying it to the Levi. He's not saying this to the amaretz. I'm sorry, I didn't say it right. The seller can say to him, means he could say to the Levi. In other words, the Levi has a taina. You went ahead and you sold your stuff. You were going to give me 10% of your produce. You sold it to an amaretz. He's not going to give me anything. I have a big taina on you, right? So what's the response? So this is what Rav Shimon says. He's matur it anyway. Why? Nesha Aymalai, he can tell the Levi, don't have tainas on me. I sold him my stuff. Well, there's the 90% of the produce that I owned. Your stuff, that's your problem with him. I had nothing to do with it. Right? Hari Machati Ashali. Say it's Vashaloch. Go and take him to the entire, you know? That's what he's basically saying. Reb Shimon in 16. The buyer cannot be trusted to tithe the sold produce. Why is the seller not guilty of causing a loss of maestros? So Reb Shimon explains, the seller is not depriving the Levi of his maester. The Levi does not yet own it at all. The maester is his only potentially. When the time comes for the maester to be separated, the Levi can go to the buyer and try to get it out of him. That's not my problem. That's what it's basically saying here.
Why can't he say, I'm going to give it to someone else? I mean,
yeah, you're right. You could always say, I'm not a familiar with Haraya. But I don't know. The Gra says.
So we lay me in town.
Reb Shimon refers exclusively to produce attached to the ground, as opposed to harvested produce. As long as the produce is attached to the ground, the levy does not have any rights to it, since Meister is not separated from attached produce, so he has no shaychus. But once it's detached, he does enjoy a limited degree of ownership, inasmuch as the Meister need only be separated in order for it to be completely his. So in that case, even Reb Shimon would agree that selling it to an untrustworthy person would be forbidden. Okay? Adkan.
That's the end.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, next page. A little page. Another two lines in 42A. Sorry, guys. Over Machar. Mesh just said, if you were over and you sold it, Ma'aser es Shuhu Ofel. So then you take that you take Ma'aser off that which the buyer eats. He doesn't need to take off Meiser from that which he sells to a third party. We don't have to be responsible for swindlers. In other words, you've got three people here. You've got the seller, you've got the Amoritz buyer, and then you've got a third buyer buying from the Amoritz. That's not my problem what the Amoritz sells to the third party. But what the Amoritz is going to eat, that was my fault. So I have to take Meiser off that.
So you do it from... So you
I guess off something else.
From your own stuff.
From his own produce, yeah.
This is some sort of like a knot or something.
Yeah.
This is a new halacha that we have not had before.
Yeah.
What about Mina Boka?
We don't worry about that
he could take it from Boka.
He sold it.
That's why it could be Minako. From the next field that belongs to him.
I think when you have a knas like this, you have to take care of business. Mukaf is something which you do when it's convenient, but in a case like this where it's not convenient, you'll do a shalom and a mukaf to prevent anybody from sinning. That's what I would say.
But if you have a field next to the